I'm here today to share with you some of our experiences with early weaning of calves, but first I'd like to give a little history of our operation. We have a medium-sized combination farm, ranch, and feed yard. We raise corn, dryable beans, wheat, and alfalfa. We have about 160 cows in a cow-calf operation. My father also operates a certified seed business, and we have 25 years of experience in establishing grass for pasture, CRP, and for other uses. My parents come from farm and ranch backgrounds. They both have advanced education. They also have a wealth of life experiences outside of agriculture. They belong to what some have called the greatest generation that ever lived, having experienced the Depression, World War II, the Cold War, and other events. I'm very fortunate to have them as parents. I'm also blessed with my wife, Cheryl, and four children who also help in our operation. We've been feeding cattle for almost 20 years. We began construction of a new yard in 1992. I had help with researching feedlot design from Dr. Bert Weichenthal, who was here at the Panhandle Research and Extension Center, and from my neighbor, the late Mr. Oris Horman. We've done most of the construction ourselves and have expanded in multiple phases. Our capacity is now at 3,700 head, but our expansion is on hold due to water use restrictions in our NRD. Why am I here today? Well, we've all been in a series of dry years, especially dry, warm, open winters. In early summer of 2002, it became obvious that we were not going to have enough grass to make it through the season. So I started talking to people about possible solutions. The first thing that I wanted to accomplish was to maintain cow production without depleting our resources. I wanted to preserve the grass, the cow herd, and of course our profitability. So we started trying to come up with a plan. I'm fortunate to be associated with some people that Dr. Connie Quinn calls the group, and I was included in their discussions and studies about the topic. And the quote I have up there is one that I've heard Connie use many times, but she wanted me to be sure and tell you that she borrowed it from Satchel Paige. The group is comprised of these people: feed yard managers, veterinarians, cow-calf producers, university personnel, and industry representatives. The overall strategy that we arrived at was to wean our calves early. This means July or August, as opposed to our traditional time of October or November. We came up with several assumptions based on our studies and travels. The first concern was the summer heat. We were told that it wouldn't be too stressful on these calves, since in the summer it's steadily hot. There won't be the wide swings in temperature that are so common in the fall. Our vaccination program could be minimized due to passive immunity. The calves are probably protected by the maternal antibodies passed to them by the cows. By early weaning, we may be able to reduce pressure on grass by at least 4/10 of an animal unit just by removing the calves. We were told that these calves will be very efficient in their gain and relatively cheap to feed. The calves should grade better and finish earlier than calves weaned at the traditional time. It appears that there might be an overall system gain to early weaning. In order to implement these plans, we had to make several management decisions. The first was when to wean. We were told that calves can be effectively weaned as early as 45 days of age. In our situation, we wanted to wait until the calves were about 130 days old or at about 300 pounds. This works out in our case to July, or specifically July 17th. Now this just happens to be my wife's birthday. She was thrilled when I told her that for her birthday she got to help us wean calves. We had to decide what, if any, vaccinations to give these little calves. There are lots of opinions about what is best, but not much data. Is it necessary to precondition the calves, or can we just wean them and take them off their cows the same day? How long are the calves protected by the maternal antibodies passed to them by the cows? And do these antibodies interfere with the calf's ability to mount an immune response? How stressful would it be to wean a calf this young? What effect do parasites have relative to feed intake and immune response? We decided to try to wean these calves without preconditioning. We wanted to rely on the calf's natural immunity for most of its protection against disease. Our plan was to use an intranasal viral vaccine at weaning. We also elected to deworm the calves using a pour-on dewormer. Besides control of internal parasites, this gives us several weeks of fly control. Both of these operations are fairly stress-free. They use no needles, and they allow us to process the calves relatively quickly and easily. When it comes to nutrition, water is obviously very important. It must be clean, fresh, and easily accessible. The supplemental protein source must be considered. There should be no more than 1% of the ration dry matter from urea. This may require a special supplement in your yard just for the calves. This ration should be palatable and high in energy. We use high quality ground alfalfa, rolled corn, molasses, and a dry protein supplement. Try to feed small amounts of feed numerous times a day to keep the calves coming to the bunk. Vitamins and minerals may be critical to the health of these calves. Consider whether to feed free choice or to include in the ration. We use what I call the Pritchard method to work calves up on feed. Dr. Pritchard from South Dakota State University gave us these guidelines. We want calves to consume 0.75% of their body weight on a dry matter basis on day 1, 1.5% by day 7, and shoot for 2.5% by day 14. This system seems to work very well in working the calves up on feed without the ups and downs of ad-lib feeding. We used our feeding pens. Most feed yard facilities will work for small calves with minimal modification. Again, the water is very important. The calves must be able to easily find and access the tanks. You may need to adjust your floats up so the water is closer to the top, or you may even need to set the floats so the tank overflows for a few days. Feed bunks may need to be modified to adapt to accommodate these calves. We use sheets of metal placed in the bunks to keep the feed up and close to the calves. We also try to allow at least 16 inches of bunk space. Dust may be an issue, but can be controlled by using sprinklers. And bedding can be used, but please be aware that the calves may fill up on straw instead of the ration. We used our feeding pens for a variation of easy weaning. A few days before weaning, we bring the pairs into the lot and place them in a large pen with lots of bunk space. The pairs are fed a ration that will be similar to what the calves get at weaning time. We want the calves to get a taste of the ration. At this time, the cows are also teaching the calves how to drink. On weaning day, we want to get the calves sorted off, processed, and returned to their new pens as quick as possible. We want to beat the heat, and we like to try to be done by at least 10 a.m. We want to handle the cattle as quickly and quietly as possible using accepted gentle handling practices. The calves are taken back to a pen that's adjacent to the cows. The cows can find their babies and vice versa. The calves don't quit bawling right away, but they don't mill around too much either. It seems that all their needs are met. They know the location of the mama, and they already know how to eat and drink. They seem to accept that we have become their adopted babysitters. We haven't had any trouble getting the calves to eat and have had minimal health problems. The heat at this point seems to be a non-issue. By traditional weaning time of October or November, we have new issues to consider. Maternal antibodies may be dwindling, so this is a good time to vaccinate. The weather is starting to change, and wide swings in temperature and condition may occur. In our yard, things are getting really busy. There are lots of cattle coming in from lots of places, and sickness can certainly be present. By now, our early weaned calves are feed yard cattle. What about the cows? After weaning, the cow's nutritional requirements drop drastically. She needs less total grass and can get by on a lot lower quality. The cow's body condition score is easier to maintain or even increase when the cow is not lactating. This can be done either back on pasture or limit fed in confinement. We want the cows to go into winter in good shape, and stopping lactation can give the cow the break she needs, even under less than optimal conditions. Pregnancy checking can be done at this time or deferred. It may be desirable to get it done as soon as possible. Once identified, all options can be considered for what to do with the call cows. Seasonal strength in cow prices may come into play in your decision. The up arrow on the graph shows the relative strength of cow prices in July and August, and then the prices decline until traditional weaning time in October and November. We have some calf results to share with you from our experiences so far. The numbers that we have are just the raw data, and they've not been analyzed statistically or replicated. They are, however, a representation of our results. Here are some cost of gain and performance numbers from last year. We had 6 groups of similar calves weaned all about the same time for a total of over 600 head. They were all from nearby ranches. 3 of the groups were fence line weaned, with the cows being brought to our feed yard with the babies. The other 3 were separated from the cows and hauled to us. The calves were all weighed at between 30 and 49 days of age, and performance numbers were generated. Both weaning groups had acceptable gains of that's shown in the average daily gain column. The average of the 2 groups is about 2.5 pounds per day. There was, however, about a 6/10 of a pound advantage to the fence line weaned calves. Cost of gain also looks very looks acceptable, especially for the fence line weaned groups. The hard weaned calves had the disadvantage of lower gain, and these calves did require an additional trip through the chute for a booster shot, which added to the cost. I believe that these results show potential benefit from fence line weaning over hard weaning. Here are health numbers on the same 6 groups of calves. These numbers are through October 1st of that year. These calves were fairly trouble-free, and respiratory death loss until traditional weaning time was minimal. The first column shows calves that were pulled but not treated with an antibiotic. Most of these calves were non-eaters. The 8 and the 10% pull rates look about the same to me. And this is probably fairly typical of what happens in our yard. Pulled and treated numbers are in the next column, at 11% and 23% respectively. We're always tickled by any group of calves that comes to our yard with a morbidity rate of less than 30%. So these numbers are very acceptable. It does show that fence line weaning probably has an advantage. Death loss was very low for both groups. These numbers are from another yard in our group. The figures are through December 1st of each year. The calves were all hard weaned, and they also show low total pull rates and death loss. The bulk of the pulls in 2003 were from one group of calves that have traditionally been hard to start. The majority of these pulls were for non-eaters. We have no data to show to compare grade benefits. However, our cattle did grade 80% choice when they were harvested on April 18th of 03. They had had 270 days on feed at that time and had gained 3.25 pounds per day for the whole period. We believe that grade will be as good or better for cattle early weaned and fed to a proper endpoint. Early weaned calves will have more days on feed and will finish earlier than fall weaned calves. This is attractive since spring prices are typically strong for cattle. The up arrow on the chart shows relative strength for live cattle prices in March and April. In conclusion, with early weaning, you won't have any 650-pound weaning weights to brag about at the coffee shop, but you will have other advantages. I believe that these light calves are easier to wean than older calves. They seem to accept that we are their caretakers. The calves are easier to doctor than if they were still on pasture. It seems like there are always calves that get sick and or die late in the feeding period, or late in the grazing period, whether it was from lightning or not. The cows are in winter-ready condition by fall. It's amazing how well the cows can do on almost any feed source when they are not lactating. There's less pressure on the grass, and there may actually be more grass left over for next year. What about those of you that say, "I can't do this"? This definitely is not traditional weaning practice, but you can break tradition if you educate yourselves on the pros and cons of the strategy. The only way this will work is if all members or all people in your operation buy into the concept. Work with your lenders so they understand the implications of the management change. There may certainly be other management challenges. It might be a real shocker when the first feed bill arrives, but you need to remember that your calves are increasing in weight and in value every day. In fact, we've noticed that early weaned calves have weighed more at traditional weaning time than they have weighed in the past with traditional weaning. Another factor to consider is the ranch grass resources are not being depleted. We've been told in the past, and again this week, to take half and leave half when making grazing decisions. Early weaning gives us the opportunity to take pressure off the grass in times of drought. Even in good times, it may make it possible to increase stocking rate or to save more grass for next year. It's easy for us to do this because we are a ranch feed yard combination. We can do this in response to an emergency such as drought or maybe a lost lease or other reasons. Or we can use it as an overall strategy. We have the option to retain ownership and finish the cattle, or to sell the calves at any time. You can do this even if you don't have a feed yard. I'm sure that there are cattle feeders in your area that would be excited to have an opportunity to work with you on a plan with this kind of potential. Again, all ownership options are available to you with this system. One added possibility would be to partner with the feed yard on ownership of the calves. This would be especially attractive to the feed yard, since both parties can work together on the management of the calves almost from birth. I truly believe that this is a win-win strategy. I believe that it will benefit your cows, your grass, and your profitability. This really is a very flexible system that anyone can achieve with a little effort. I would like to thank these people for their help in working on the strategy. Dr. Ivan Rush, Dr. Connie Quinn of Elanco, Dr. Philip Kesterson at Trail Animal Clinic in Bridgeport, John Maxey with Hall Feed Yard, Tom Williams with Chapel Feed Yard, and Mr. Travis Wendell from Pfizer Animal Health, and other people, as well as my cooperating producers. Thank you for your time.